The following program is brought to you by the friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries, celebrating 40 years of sharing God's unconditional love and grace. Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack. On today's program, Andrew explains how miraculous changes can take place in your life when you stop limiting God with small thinking. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I've entitled, Don't Limit God. And this is a personal testimony of mine that God spoke this to me. And since I started responding positively to what He spoke to me, I have seen tremendous, tremendous change in my life and ministry. And I mean, it's just been awesome. And I personally believe that most of us limit God through our own fears, through just being preoccupied, through a multitude of different things. So I've got a brand new teaching out on this. I just had a Gospel Truth seminar in Phoenix where I taught on this, and this is our new series. For those of you that have been with us for at least 7 years or longer in this ministry, you'll remember that I had a series entitled Taking the Limits Off of God. It's a lot of the same teaching, but this is the new updated thing. Plus, I've got a lot of new teaching in there about imagination and hope that we'll be getting to either the latter part of this week or next week. Also, you get, when you get this, there's a little sticker here that is a static cling sticker. You peel it off this white backing and it says, Don't Limit God, Psalm 78:41, and it'll just stick to anything. And it's a tremendous way for you to just keep this in front of you. I have it on a mirror the first thing I see in the morning. So I encourage you to get these materials. Now, I've been talking about how that a wrong understanding of sovereignty of God limits God, because we do have a part to play. And the extreme understanding of sovereignty of God, the religious teaching on that says that everything that happens, it's God's will. And so it takes away motivation. It takes away there's no reason to do anything. Because after all, God's will always gets done. That'll limit God. I talked about how you can't fulfill God's will for your life if you don't know what it is. And so you've got to know God's will. We talked about that. Then I spent quite a bit of time talking about how fear limits God. A fear of change, a fear of failure, a fear of rejection, and in my case, a fear of success. That's a strange thing. If you missed that, you need to get that teaching. What I'd like to talk about now is how that unbelief limits God. And you know, I'm just breaking these things into these separate areas for the purpose of discussion. Actually, there is a overlap between all of these things. When you go to talking about fear, you know, unbelief, you could say, is fear. It's motivated by fear. There is a lot of overlap among these things. But let me read this passage to you out of Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 7. This is the Lord speaking through Moses. This is at the end of Moses' life, and he's given instructions to the Israelites about when they enter into the promised land, what they should do. And right in the midst of promising them absolute victory, Moses just comes up and gives a warning to them not to fear, not to operate in any form of unbelief, because it would stop the power of God. And here's what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and in verse 17. He says, If thou shalt say in thine heart, These nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? You know, most people read that as if you will say, These nations are more than I. And he's talking to the Israelites, talking about them going in and conquering the people that were in the land of Palestine, or in the land of Canaan. And of course, a lot of these people were considered giants. They were sons of the Anakims and others. And they were huge compared to the size of the Israelites. And he says, If you shall say in your heart, These nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Most people read that as one statement that the Israelites are making. If you say, These nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? They think that that's the Israelites saying that. But here's what this is really saying. If you say in your heart, These nations are mightier than I, then God says, How can I dispossess them? Now, if you were to stop and study this, I think that you'd come to that same conclusion. Because if this is just asking a question, if you shall say in your heart, These nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? If that was the Israelites saying that, well, then there's no answer to this. It just goes on in the next verse and it says, Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but thou shalt well remember that the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. Now see, if you take this as all being spoken by the Israelites, then there is no answer to this question. But if you take it as, if you say in your heart, these nations are more than I, then God is saying, how can I dispossess them, or how can I drive them out? And what this does, once again, is link God's power flowing through us to the faith that we have. Faith releases God to flow through us. Fear releases Satan. It's a blockage to God. You could look at it like the way that electricity is. Did you know that copper wiring will conduct electricity much better than rubber does? And that's the reason that you put rubber around like an appliance. When you plug it in, those wires that the electricity is flowing through, you put rubber around it, and it's an insulator. And it's just the way that it is. Fear and unbelief do not allow the power of God to flow through that. Faith does allow the power of God to flow. And so if we're talking about don't limit God, well then part of this process has to be that you've got to quit operating in unbelief and you've got to operate in faith. Now that is just so simple that really it doesn't have, I don't have to make a big thing out of it. I think most people recognize that. But where does faith come from? Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you recognize this truth that I'm saying, that unbelief stops God, and that faith is the opposite of unbelief, well then, how do you overcome this unbelief? You have to get into the Word of God and let faith come through that. You know, let me break unbelief into three different categories. Let me turn over to this other passage. I've got another teaching where I go into greater depth on this, but let me just quickly mention this. In Matthew chapter 17, there's an instance where Jesus had a man come to him and wanted to cast the demon out of a son who was demon-possessed. And the disciples tried to do it, and they were unable to do it. And so after Jesus had cast the demon out of this demon-possessed boy, they came unto Jesus and they asked him this question in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 19. It says, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? In other words, they knew that God wanted them to release his power and see demons cast out. They had seen demons cast out before. You can read that in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew. And they saw total success. This time, they saw a limit on God flowing through them. And they were saying, why did this happen? What limited your power? Because they spoke and they commanded the demon to leave, but he didn't leave. What limited the power of God? And here's Jesus' answer in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. He's telling them why they were unable to do this. It was because of their unbelief. Now, I hate to point this out, but I need to point this out because a lot of people have different translations and stuff, and some people will totally miss the point I'm trying to make. Like, for instance, if you're reading the NIV here says, it's because of your little faith. That's not what Jesus said. He said, it's because of your unbelief. Unbelief does not automatically mean you have little faith. Some people think that they're mutually exclusive. And if you have any unbelief, then you don't have very strong faith. That's not so. You could be strong in faith and yet have unbelief at the same time, and unbelief will limit the flow of God. Again, I go back to that example. Unbelief is like rubber. It just doesn't conduct the electricity. It doesn't allow it to flow through it. Unbelief will insulate and stop the power of God from flowing. It won't allow the connection to be made. You could actually believe and have faith in your heart, and yet unbelief will hinder. It'll dilute, pollute what God is wanting to do in your life. And you can see that because the rest of this verse says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So the very context of this verse shows that he isn't saying that you have to have big faith. He says if your faith is only the size of a mustard seed. So I really believe that the NIV totally missed this when it says it's your little faith, because then it would make the rest of that verse redundant. There would be no reason to say those things. And you'll notice if you have an NIV that it just totally omits the 21st verse. It's not even in there. And that says, howbeit this kind goeth out not out but by prayer and fasting. The NIV didn't even put that in there. So I'm not out to attack any translation. I'm just saying that here's what Jesus was saying. They said, why didn't we see the power of God manifest? What was the problem? And he's basically saying unbelief stops the power of God. It is an opposing force. It negates your faith. And I hadn't got time to teach on this. I have a teaching where I could teach on this probably for an hour or two. That'd be multiple days worth. I'm not going to take that amount of time on it. But this is basically saying that you have faith. These disciples had faith. They spoke to this demon. They had seen that faith work previous times. But this time, they had an unbelief that they hadn't had in the past. And that unbelief negated and diluted the power of God that was flowing through them. And I believe that this happens to us, that you can actually believe for something. Like, let's put all of this back into the context of what we're talking about, that God is telling you to believe for something big. He's telling you to change your vocation. He's telling you to start a business. He's telling you to do something that is in response to what He's laid on your heart. And you can know that it's God, and you can move in that direction, and you can have faith. You could actually have faith. But if you get to listening to the people around you, looking at circumstances, if you take your eyes off of the Lord, then that unbelief that comes through those things can cause you to begin to sink. You could compare this to the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew, where Jesus came walking on top of the water and His disciples were in a boat. They were about to drown. The very thing that was killing them, Jesus was on top of it. And Peter saw Jesus and said, Lord, if it's You, bid me come unto You on the water. And he got out of the boat and began to walk on the water to Jesus. He was operating in faith. You can't walk on the water unless you're operating in faith. And probably a lot more faith than what you and I are demonstrating. If you don't believe it, just fill up your bathtub and try and walk on it. Amen. Peter had faith. Peter was walking in water, on water. He was doing something. There was faith present. But it says in Matthew chapter 14 that he took his eyes off of Jesus. And when he saw the wind and the waves boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. See, as long as he was looking at Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, as long as you are looking to Jesus and only considering Him, then Satan doesn't have access to you. But you can take your eyes off of Jesus and begin to look at the problems around you. Listen to the criticisms around you. I was teaching on this on our program yesterday about persecution, how it's designed to get you off the track and up into the grandstands arguing with the spectators. And if you take your eyes off of Jesus and get listening to the criticism, looking at the opposition, seeing all of these things, then this unbelief that comes through those things, it doesn't mean you don't have faith, but it means it will hinder and slow down, dilute, and possibly stop your faith from getting the proper results. See, this is what Peter did. Peter walked on the water, but then when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he saw the wind and the waves. And you know, the thing about it is the wind and the waves didn't have anything to do with him walking on the water. He couldn't have walked on the water if it was a perfectly calm day. These circumstances, what other people say, it really doesn't amount to anything. And yet we are so easy to listen to other people and to look at these criticisms and look at all of the hardships. All you need to do is look at Jesus. And if Jesus has told you to do something, then do what Jesus has told you to do. If it just hair lips every devil in hell, who cares? You do what God told you to do. And when you get that attitude and when you're focused on Him, that little mustard seed amount of faith will cause you to succeed. And so this is what Jesus was telling His disciples. He's saying, guys, you had enough faith. You've done it in the past. You know what the difference is this time? You had unbelief. Now, where did they get unbelief? The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Where does unbelief come from? Unbelief comes by hearing or seeing, but having input from something other than what God said. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, Jesus told His disciples, I give you power over all or authority over all the power of the devil, and you will cast out devils and you'll do all of these things. That's what the Word of God said. But when they spoke to this demon-possessed boy, you can read this, I believe it's in Luke chapter 9, this same story is recounted. or either Mark chapter 9, maybe it is, but I'm not going to take time to turn over there. But it says there in that situation that when they brought this boy to Jesus, that he fell on the ground. The devil tore him. He fell on the ground and he wallowed and foamed at the mouth. There was this visible manifestation of something contrary to what they believed. They told the devil to come out, and instead of coming out, it looked like the devil was about to kill this guy. And so here's what I believe happened. Previously, they had cast demons out and they had just left and they hadn't gone through all these physical manifestations. This time, this demon just, it didn't mean that he wasn't coming out, but he tore this boy as he was coming out. Same thing happened with Jesus. And yet Jesus wasn't moved by it. He didn't have any unbelief. And so the faith that he had used worked and this boy was totally delivered. But when the disciples saw this manifestation, they got unbelief that came in, and their unbelief negated the faith that they had used. Well, that's a powerful truth. So unbelief can stop the power of God. And look in this case, he goes on to say in Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, "Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." Some people say that this is a certain kind of demon. And they put demons in categories, that there's weak demons, there's strong demons, and that sometimes you got to pray and fast to get demons out. I'm telling you that there is no demon that you will ever encounter that won't respond to the name of Jesus and faith in His name. Prayer and fasting has zippo, zilch, nada to do with the devil coming out. Prayer and fasting does not give you more power against the devil. This is talking about this kind of unbelief goes not out but by prayer and fasting. The subject of the verse, the previous verse, was unbelief. It was unbelief that had stopped them from seeing this miracle come to pass. And the way that you got rid of this kind of unbelief is you pray and fast. Now, this makes a statement that there are different types of unbelief. By saying this kind of unbelief, in other words, this, you deal with this unbelief differently than you deal with other things. The antidote for most unbelief is just the truth of the Word of God. For instance, this is just an ideology. I hadn't got a scripture that'll tell you this, but in my own way of thinking, I've put unbelief into three categories. There is unbelief that comes through ignorance. If you don't know what the Word says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. If you haven't heard the Word, well, then you don't have faith. You just don't know. There are people today that don't know that God is a good God because they've never heard it. They don't know that God wants to bless them because that's not the message that most Christianity is teaching. And so there's a lot of people that just don't have faith for the things of God. And because of that, it's not going to come to pass accidentally. You have to believe to receive. And so there are some people that have an unbelief that the root cause of it is just ignorance. And then there's a second type of unbelief that is caused by, not by ignorance, but by wrong teaching, religious indoctrination that's contrary to God's Word. For instance, you know, there are some people that don't know that God does miracles. They've not been raised in church. They've just not been around it. They don't observe it. And they just, it's never really been a concern of theirs. But then there's other people who have actually been taught that miracles are of the devil, that miracles stopped with the last apostle, and that today if a person speaks in tongues or if you believe in the miraculous power of God, that you're of the devil. Now, that's not ignorance. That's wrong teaching. And it's actually harder to overcome wrong teaching than it is ignorance. But the answer is basically the same. You take a person who has never heard the truth or a person who's been told a lie, and it's the truth that is going to set them free. It's easier to get a person who has never been told anything to receive the truth because they don't have to overcome all of their unbelief. It's like if you had a blackboard and if you wrote on the blackboard, well, then if you wanted to write something new there, you would have to erase it first and then write your thing. It's easier to write on a person who has never heard anything than it is somebody who's been taught the wrong thing, because then you got to go back and erase all of that stuff first. But basically, the answer for those first two types of unbelief is the same. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John chapter 8, verse 32. It's only the truth you know that makes you free. And then he said in John chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the word of God is truth. And if you want to get free, well, then you just basically receive the truth. And the truth that you know will make you free. So these first two types of unbelief, where it's either through ignorance or it's through wrong teaching, the antidote is basically the same, and that is you just get into the Word of God and you counter those things. But the kind of unbelief that Jesus was speaking of in Matthew chapter 17, here where he says, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting, it's what I call natural unbelief. It's not the fact that you don't know what the Word says. It's not the fact that you've been taught the wrong thing and you're believing the wrong thing. But if you speak, like in this instance, to a boy who is demon-possessed, command the demon to come out of him, instead of the boy being free, it looks like it got worse. This demon tore him. He fell on the ground. He wallowed and foamed at the mouth. And so you just have a natural thought of unbelief because you prayed for this results, and instead you see this results. It would be similar to you believing for a healing for your body, and you pray and believe God to heal you, and you go to the doctor, and instead of him saying, oh, yep, the cancer's totally gone, instead he says, it's grown. Well, then that's not based on the fact that you don't know the truth, that you've never heard it, or that you've been taught the wrong thing. It's just that here you've got a report that's contrary to what you believe, and it just naturally causes thoughts of unbelief. How do you deal with that? Well, Jesus said that this kind comes out only by prayer and fasting. And you know what? I don't have time on today's program to totally explain this. I'll conclude this on our program tomorrow, and I'll give you the reason that prayer and fasting overcomes that. But I've been saying all of these things to basically just talk about how that we've got to take the limits off of God. What is it that limits God? Well, unbelief is an insulator to the power of God, the same way that rubber doesn't conduct electrical current. Unbelief doesn't release the power of God. And we've got to get to where we root out unbelief out of our life. In a nutshell, unbelief comes by hearing anything contrary to God's Word the same way that faith comes by hearing God's Word. And most of us are too plugged into this world. Most of us are letting the world influence us way too much. And it's not the fact that many of you don't have faith. Now, some people watching this program just don't have any faith. You don't believe the Word. But there are some of you watching who really do have faith, and yet you aren't seeing the desired results. It's not because you don't have faith. It's because you've got more unbelief than you need. And if you want to get rid of that unbelief, you are going to have to separate yourself from the sources. You're going to have to unplug from this culture that is so ungodly, so anti-Christian. And you're going to have to just saturate yourself in the Word of God, because that's where faith comes by. And you can starve your doubts and feed your faith. Boy, that's good news. You know, let me remind you once again that I just recently finished a Gospel Truth Seminar in Phoenix, Arizona, where I taught on these exact things. And I've got this brand new album entitled Don't Limit God. And with this album, here's a static clean sticker that goes with this. This is a CD album. We also have a DVD album that is recorded directly from television. And I tell you, there are some powerful things in here that would help you to quit limiting what God can do in your life. It's not God's fault. It's ours. And I think that this will help you. So listen to our announcer. He's going to give you the information. And then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's five-part teaching titled, Don't Limit God, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available in either a CD album or a DVD album for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1060C or DVD album T3204D when you contact us. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV by requesting DVD album T1060D when you send a gift of any amount to this ministry. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We can't overemphasize how grateful we are to you. The fourth teaching in the audio CD album titled Don't Limit God Part 4 is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth teaching free of charge. Request teaching TK150C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Everyone who sends a gift today will receive the bonus Don't Limit God sticker. This reversible static decal will cling to your window or mirror, reminding you not to limit God with small thinking.
I'd like to thank those of you who are partners with our ministry. You know, we're going through tough economic times, not only in the U.S., but around the world. They're talking about a global economic slowdown, and yet we are setting records on revenue and calls and materials going out. Now, that doesn't mean that we've got a surplus, because I'm reaching further. I've begun another expansion. But you know what? Our partners have been awesome. And I just want to thank those of you that are helping us do this. If you aren't a partner with our ministry, you should be. I really believe that. And I encourage you to call the number that you see on your screen and join with us on a monthly basis in supporting the gospel truth.
Visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of resources free for you to download for yourself and to share with others. Or you can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He will be in Atlanta, Georgia, March 5th through the 7th, Colorado Springs for the Karis Bible College weekend, March 12th through the 14th, and in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd. He'll also be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth seminar on May 7th through the 9th, Raleigh, North Carolina, June 11th through the 13th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. I'd like to invite you to join me for our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be June the 29th through July the 3rd. It's at our facility here in Colorado Springs. It starts on a Monday night. We have a special barbecue for those of you that have children. We have great children's ministry. There are special room rates available at different hotels. So remember, this is June the 29th through July the 3rd right here in Colorado Springs.